part.
I'm gonna clip the whole fucking thing after this part. All right, so you just got back from vacation, went to Orange Beach, got a little tan.
Nice little time. Got a little tan. It was a nice little time.
Yeah, that's why we couldn't do the show last week. So you just kind of impromptu vacation because you don't know how to communicate, and it is what it is. But you know, all good.
Didn't you just go to Miami recently?
We weren't even doing the podcast then.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm just bringing it up. Like, wasn't that your recent trip?
Yeah, it was like back in June.
How was it? I've never been there.
I mean, that was my third time going there. So, I mean, it was all right. I mean, it's just a good little getaway spot. You know, I don't really go to like South Beach or anything like that. We went to the beach, but just for a little bit. You know, it's just kind of fun to do the boat tours and sightsee a little bit. We did a lot of that. So the first two times when we were like downtown Miami and went to we did all the touristy stuff on South Beach and some of the shops and stuff like that. And then this time we were more on the Fort Lauderdale side. So we kind of did some different tours out there and some other stuff. So
that's cool. You fly over there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not a fan of flying. How about you?
I fucking hate flying.
Hate it, man. I hate it.
It's the worst fucking thing that you can do to me is fucking fly.
It's terrible. I mean, of course, the faster travel is convenient. You know, there's no complaint with that. But everything that sucks so hard, every fucking thing about it, dude.
I hate the fucking flight. I really hate flying just in general. I hate everything about flights, but I hate the airports even more. Yeah. So, I hate the airports even more. I hate the fact that you can't ever find good parking. Then you have to go through the fucking endless security lines. Then you're hoping you don't get delayed or some shit. And so that happened to me in Miami. It never fails that bad shit happens on a flight. So the first fucking time going out there, the trip, like the first flight to go out there, no delays, but it was in the middle of a fucking thunderstorm. So it was turbulence like crazy the entire time while you can look out the window and see lightning.
Oh, that's so terrible.
I sent you that video.
You did send it to me. It's fucking terrible, man.
It was horrible, man. I was like literally sitting there, I was like fucking the weightless, like I can do the weightlessness thing on roller coasters. I like that feeling, but I can't do it on a fucking plane where I'm 50,000 feet in the fucking sky getting ready to fall out.
Yeah, man. It's still an easy feeling. I hate heights as it is, and it's weird enough because, like you say, a roller coaster or a ride or something like that on your strap, it's fine, man. It doesn't bother me. Fucking airplanes or walking on a balcony, kind of like the video I made and stuff, man. I hate that kind of shit. So flying just, and it's terrible all around. It's,
yeah, and then coming back, we got delayed on the tarmac, like on the plane, for like an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, so after
we were all on the plane. No. We were getting ready to take off, come back. And we had pulled away from the gate. And then it was like, oh, we got a little thing. A flap won't close. It's a mechanical issue and we can't take off without it. And so like, I love when they say mechanical issue before we're getting ready to take off.
Yeah, right. That's always great. It's a great feeling.
It's a great feeling. So we stood there, got it fixed, took off, landed, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I don't like. I can't stand people that bitch on flights. You know what I mean? Oh, people that bitch. So, like, what I say is, like, oh, it's a mechanical issue. And you can just hear the people like, oh, my fucking God. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, bitch, what, you want to crash? Like, you know, I just want to look back at people when they're bitching and I'm just like, y'all want to fucking crash? Like, would you want, like, y'all just want to just, I don't know, just like, oh, fuck the mechanical issue. Sorry. You know, we're going to just fucking fall out of the sky because you're bitching because you're 30 minutes delayed. Fuck off.
Yeah. Did you have to have a layover or was it a straight flight?
No, it's a straight flight. I usually do straight flights as much as possible.
Yes. Try to stay away from those freaking plane changes and all that shit. I hate it. It shouldn't be too long of a flight to Miami from where you're at, though, huh? From
that, it's like an hour and 45 minutes. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, not too bad, but bad enough.
Yeah, yeah, it's bad. It's like once you get to cruising altitude, it's like I'm good for a little bit. You know, until the turbulence starts. When the turbulence starts, I'm like, fuck this shit. I hate this shit. I start having panic attacks. It's not good.
Yeah, it sounds like we're exactly the same person when it comes to a flight, dude. Like, and the taking off part sucks so bad too. I hate that shit, man. That was
yeah. Awesome. I love the landing. I hate to take it off.
I hate the taking off.
The landing, I'm like, all right, I'm on fucking ground. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm good with that. I don't give a shit if it's a bumpy landing or whatever. I'm just, as long as we land, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Sucks. I hate it.
Yeah, it's fucking
you're shifting
terrible.
All over the place, especially when it's, like, windy and shit. It's like, oh, God. Oh,
fucking miserable, you know? It's fucking miserable. And then I'm watching this fucking show right now on Apple TV called Hijack, where a plane gets hijacked. So... It's a great show, though. It's a great show.
It's a series or like a documentary type thing?
No, it's a series. Okay. And it's like twist. It's really good. It's 8 million twists on this fucking show. It's got Idris Elba in it, and it's like a Saudi Arabia, like a Dubai flight going back to London gets hijacked by these like Irish nationals or some shit. And we can't understand who's like really behind it, and it's like all kind of shit's going on, and it's crazy.
Yeah, he's a great actor too, man. So I'm sure it is a really good series.
I'm sitting there thinking like this would happen to me if I fucking got like this. This is some shit that would happen to me.
I'll have to check it out. So that's what you're into right now. I just got finished with Quarterback on Netflix. Did you check that out yet?
I watched it twice.
Tell me your thoughts on it.
That was great. I think it was the best. I don't think we've ever had a more insightful documentary into the quarterback position.
Sure.
You know, and the fact that we got Patrick Mahomes, who is the best quarterback in the league right now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we kind of had Kirk Cousins, who's kind of like middle of the tier. And then Marcus Mariota, the journeyman who, you know, is at the end of his career trying to just figure it out. You know what I mean? I thought that the three different perspectives of it were really good. Because
I
like
did too, man. I love that.
I really like Patrick Mahomes a lot. I like him even more now. I'm obviously not a fan of his brother. I want to punch his brother in the fucking face and break every fucking bone in his body. But I also did not like his wife much. But after watching the documentary, I've got more respect for his wife now. So I'm like, okay. Because I always thought
– like his brother didn't make a peep in the whole documentary.
As he should not have.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And hey, man, what about Kirk Cousins? What a guy, huh?
He's a little too clean for me, you know. And when I say that, it's like they're like the people, like the family. It's like the perfect family. Like here, we're gonna read you a little bedtime story about Jesus and all this kind of stuff. And then it's like you imagine him like going to the bedroom and his wife's got like whips and chains and shit, and she's tying him up with a gag ball. And it's like really fucking nasty BDSM shit. Like that's the kind of stuff that I see when I think of those like Mayberry families. I'm like, boy, I bet when the lights go off, there's some sick motherfuckers.
I think that's the case with them. Like I think they're literally like really pure people, and like she covers her mouth when you say crap, that kind of thing. You know, like I really
oh crap.
Yeah, I really liked him in that. I really liked him, and with Mariota. Man, I couldn't help but feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. It's bad. You know what I mean? It's you do feel bad for him, but at the same time, like it's sports, and that's what happens. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And yet, did not like. I cannot respect the whole thing about him bailing on the team like he did when he was when he had the spot pulled from him. You know what I'm saying? Like I couldn't help but feel bad for him, but at the same time, it's like, dude, you don't just fold the tent like that in the middle of the year, towards the end of the year or whatever, like it was, and just like, okay, fuck it. I lose my spot on here.
You know, yeah. I think it's something with the Falcons, man. Everybody quits the Falcons, you know? Like,
remember back when Petrino did it? Yeah, Petrino, yeah.
Yeah, Petrino quit them, right? Like, right in the middle of the season, he left, like, notes in the locker and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when he went to Arkansas. He's just like, yep. Like the Falcons didn't even know about it until he was doing his Arkansas press conference. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Like the Dirty Birds. Everybody wants to get out of there. It's like, fuck the Dirty Birds. I'm out of here.
Crazy, man. Totally crazy.
It's a little nuts. It's I think Falcons are the common denominator. So.
So, man, you guys had the UFC event last night in Nashville, huh?
Yeah, I was bummed I couldn't go because the tickets sold out so damn fast. But I watched it at home.
Yeah, you watched the whole thing? Did you wind up watching all of it?
I fell asleep on the co-main event with the strawweights.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there was some pretty good pretty good early fights there.
Man, the early fights were great. A lot of finishes.
Really, really good. The Sandhagen and Font fight, I was really looking forward to that, man. And, you know, that was a big matchup and everything. It wound up being boring for somebody who doesn't really know a lot about fights. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that game of it. Like, if you're in the crowd and you want to be entertained really big, that wasn't the fight for you. You know what I'm saying? But for somebody like you, Alan, that studies martial arts, has been in martial arts for so long, and understands strategy and what has to be done in a game plan, Sandhagen just completely dominated and took Font out of his game just by wrestling him down and keeping him to where he couldn't, where he could defend, you know what I'm saying? But he couldn't stick to his plan. And,
well, what was so funny about what you're saying right now is I had my friend Ray over last night, and he dropped by while his wife and daughter were shopping in the shops, like right by my house. And they were getting some stuff, so he came and hung out for a little bit, and I had the fights on. And he's not as into it. You know, I mean, he'll casually watch it. But I was saying, I said, we've had this kind of conversation where I was just like, man, I was like, I really hate when fighters get an opportunity and don't let it go. You know what I'm saying? I hate, like, you see that a lot in championship fights where it's like guys that make it, climb the ranks, and they get their title shot, and they become very reserved.
You know what I mean? You do. Yeah.
Very, very reserved. Like, they're not fighting a normal fight. They're not as explosive. They're overthinking very much. They're not sticking to any game plans and things like that. You know what I mean? I'm just sitting there thinking, like, man, fuck that. Like, a fight is a fight. Go get it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like, it kind of seems like they're on the defense and feeling the other opponent out too much, maybe.
Way too much. Like, I saw that every time somebody fought GSP in the title fight. Every time. Whether it was Kenny Florian or anybody else like that, right? Everybody, when GSP was on his run of just title defenses after he won the title back, after he got upset with Matt Serra, because he's so technical, everybody just went in and was like, what got him there, which is their jiu-jitsu or their striking. It's like they went opposite. And they completely just tried to just, you know, let the fight come to them. And it just went slow and it was just terrible. You know what I mean? It's like they overthought it.
Yeah, and it's funny, though, like, you're spot on with that, but at the same time, like, with the Sandhagen thing last night, like, Rob Font is known as being a very good striker, put-you-out type guy, you know what I'm saying? And Sandhagen is kind of like, he's a jack-of-all-trades. He can do that. I don't know if you've watched him very much, but he's a very technical striker. He's fast, and he's really good on the ground, too, so it was like, He went in with a game plan and he executed it perfectly, and it may have been boring to some just because he kept it on the ground the whole time. It was really like a Khabib type fight, you know what I'm saying? Like, just completely get somebody to the ground, just maul them the entire time. And you know, the crowd booed him and this and that, or booed the fight and all this. But it's like,
look,
man,
crowds, when you're at a live action fight, crowds want a stand up war, man. They do. They just want a stand up war. Sure. And we got that in the earlier fights, you know. But like I said, like, sometimes you have a good game plan where you can just go out and point the person, you know? And if the finish presents itself, you take it. Because you also don't want to get caught either. And that can happen anyone at any time.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it last weekend with that card last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
With some great fights on that one, man. That Poirier-Gaethje fight really wound up being a banger like we all knew it would, but I was not expecting, as great of a fighter as Gaethje is, and one thing I've said about him on this show in the past is that, like, he fights so well, he hits like a fucking truck, but he hasn't always been, like, the most technical, you know what I'm saying? Because he goes in just looking for a freaking brawl, and he's gotten now to where he is, like, he's smarter, he picks his shots better, and
his head kick was perfectly timed.
Beautiful, man. You know? That's what I was getting to. It was just a thing of beauty, the way he set that shit up. It was like, you know, you don't do that kind of thing against the Dustin Poirier.
Exactly. I think that's what I think was the crazy part about it, but that was the second best fucking head kick of the night. Because those prelims earlier where that dude head kick, I can't even remember the fighter's name.
Kopylov.
Yes, he set that kick up, and it was the smoothest feint with a jab into a fucking head kick that I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to say that's got to be the smoothest head kick I've ever seen, man.
It was literally, it literally looked like just a left, it just looked like a right jab coming up. It just like whoop, it was like, damn. It was like,
smoked it, man. Like,
it was effortless.
Effortless and clean, and it just happened so quick. It was like, shit. That guy's going to be something to deal with in the future, I think. You know, matter of fact, me and you were texting about him during that fight, like in that first round. Like, shit, this guy is long and rangy, and he's technical and fast. And then not long after that, that head kick happened. It's like, yeah, should have saw that coming, you know?
Yeah, no, man. There was those early fights, man. You got some hungry guys that are kind of – they're letting it all hang out there, and that's what I like. Like I said, the championship fights, sometimes they're great. Sometimes those main event fights are great, and sometimes they are a letdown. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
So that's just the way it goes sometimes because they're playing with higher stakes. But
yeah, those prelim guys, you know, they're out there just giving it their all to get up to that next step.
Well,
you know,
it's also why I like people like John Jones. Like, this is where he gets credit, is because he finishes 90% of his fights. You know, they rarely go to decision. Like, he's not scared to let it go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Like, he's not scared to just hold on to the belt. Like, he's trying to win the fight. He's not trying to hold on to the belt. And I think that's the difference. Some guys you see is they're just trying to hold on to the belt. Other people are trying to win the fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying to coast through.
But you fucking bought the Jake Paul Nate Diaz fight.
Yeah, that was what I was fixing to get to. I was fixing to say, speaking of fighting, I tuned into that. I was going to talk about that.
Why would you fucking buy such a shit show?
Why not? I would, like, to tell you the truth.
You're gonna pay $60 to $70 to be entertained.
It was fun. You know, anytime to watch Nate is a fun time, man. You're a Nate fan, aren't you?
I like Nate a lot. I mean, that's what I'm saying is, but here's the thing, right? I would rather fucking put a hammer on my left nut, okay, and just watch it, just take a hammer to it, than watch a Jake Paul fight, much less pay for a Jake Paul fight, okay? It's one thing if you're chilling at Twin Peaks or Hooters and the fight's on. It's another if you're actually spending money, because that's his goal. He wants you to spend money to watch that shit, you know?
Sure, but it's Nate, man. That's what got me in was Nate.
Yeah, it's Nate. I mean, I like Nate too. I mean, yeah, and he was, you know, talking shit, and he was – you know, mocking Jake the entire time and throwing him in guillotines and stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, it's not worth it to give Jake Paul my dollars. I'm sorry. It's not happening. I can't argue that.
I can't argue that.
Well, and the other thing is, like, it's not even like the problem is, have you watched his documentary that just came out on Netflix?
Who's that, Nate or Jake?
Jake.
No, I have not.
It came out last week.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Johnny Footballs, I think, comes out this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
So Jake Paul's documentary came out, and at his core, and he talks about it in this documentary, he is a promoter, okay? So he is a promoter that fights. That's all he is. So his goal is to literally just get people to watch. That's how he makes his money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he did his job by getting you to order that fight, you know? So I think the dude's a scammer, and he knows what he's doing. He does it legally because he is a promoter, but I think he's a fucking scammer. I honestly think that he puts these little clauses in the fucking boxing contracts, and I'll never forgive him from Tyron Woodley 1. Do you have wind chimes or something out there?
Yeah, I got some wind chimes.
Okay, I was wondering what the fuck that was.
Just consider it background music. Didn't he have the whole no knockout clause in that fight?
Yes, and that came out after the fact, which is like, because I 100% thought Tyron Woodley should have won that fight. But when you watch that fight, he was not being aggressive. It's like every time he would get Jake Paul on the ropes, he'd back off. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, why would you back off? You know? And then, of course, it comes out with that shit. So I'm just like, man, I'm like, you just never know with that stuff. So it's like, I'd love to see Nate Diaz win the fight. Nate Diaz probably could have won the fight. But I also feel like it's a shit show to get pay-per-view money. And that's it.
It was you know, he's eating punches and keeps coming forward. And, you know, I think that if there was ever a fight in Octagon to where there was just no time limit, you know, you could have rounds or I just don't see Nate Wood. literally beat that dude half to death, and he's just gonna keep coming. It's so
that guy can see, that man. that guy can just eat punches, and I mean, he just eats shit.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I mean,
even in the UFC with 5-ounce gloves, he eats some fucking punches. You know. So,
oh, yeah, you know, when you look at that that second McGregor fight, they were just fucking unloading on him. This guy just never goes down.
Yeah, he's tougher than a fucking $10 steak. It's like you just can't finish that dude unless you choke him out, you know?
Absolutely.
I kind of got a fun idea for today. I kind of want to switch gears with you.
You want to switch gears? You want to do something crazy, huh?
Yeah, I've got a fun idea for you today, man. I think I want to put your ass in the hot
seat. What's this idea?
I think I want to put your ass in the hot seat today, man. I'm thinking about just throwing a bunch of wacky, serious, from all corners of the world, scenarios at you.
What do you think about that?
I like it if you can stop your robot voice.
Oh,
you were a second ago. Yeah.
Are we clear? And then
you're clear now. I mean, you were talking about Jake and them, like you were roboting for a minute too.
Robot style. Jake Paul always walks out with that big ass robot. What's
that big ass fucking robot? I don't know. It's fucking stupid.
What the fuck is that thing for?
I don't know. It's always at fucking press conference. But you're talking like him again right now, so I don't know.
It's the Jake Paul robot.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's all this. I don't know. Like I said, he's a YouTuber who boxes. That's what he is. He's a YouTuber who puts on fights.
Scenario number one.
Wait a minute. Wait. You just like literally just went blank and then came back with a question.
I didn't ask the question yet.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, you didn't even set up. You're like, all right, you're ready. You didn't even say nothing like that.
Oh, yeah,
just,
like, going into it. Okay, so, yeah, what we're going to do is like, I'm gonna throw a scenario or a question at you. It could be funny. It could be serious. It could be wacky, you know. I'm just going to put you in a scenario, and I would like for you to give a brief description of how you would handle it.
Okay.
All right, let's start kind of simple. You start with as the president of the United States. What if tomorrow you're the president of the United States? What does Alan Wise do?
Oh, jeez, man. I think number one is I would try to pass a law that changes the fucking retirement age for politicians to 65.
Mm-hmm.
So that all these old people can get the fuck out of office. So there's no way that you should be in any type of political office of leadership over the retirement age when you're running around, no matter what it is, judge, Congress, Senate, or any of that. So second thing is I would immediately get assassinated because I would also start passing a law that says if you are caught as a leader, such as Speaker of the House or Congress, Senate, anything like that, taking money from lobbyists, et cetera, or things like that to fund campaigns, to pass agendas and things like that, you will be sentenced to life in prison or death for treason. End of story. Those are your two options.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. You gotta go in there and you gotta clean it up. Then we can start on all the other issues like, you know, fucking stopping the border leaks and the craziness that's going on there and all that other shit. So, and then I would try to actually unite the American people versus dividing the American people, which is what all of our politicians right now are doing. They just like to fucking divide us instead of like trying to conquer us and things like that. So
instead of trying to conquer us, that's what you said.
Exactly. Yeah. I would rather see it united. You know what I mean? So that's what I would work on if I was the president.
Okay. Next scenario. If you were to have dinner with one person, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Dinner. One person, dead or alive.
Who would it be and why?
Who would it be and why? Oh, man, I get like a list of these things. I would love to sit down and talk to a lot of different people. Dead doesn't really – there's not really a super dead person that I'd love to talk to. Dead, maybe Genghis Khan, but I need a translator. Alive, I think it would be a little bit of like – I would love to sit down and pick a lot of different people's brains, such as like Jay-Z, Nick Saban, people like that, because I would love to see their takes on – like, nobody has ever asked Nick Saban the question that I would ask him, which is, okay, so day one, whether it was LSU or Alabama, what's the first thing you do? What's the first thing, right? You just got hired. You signed the contract. What's the first thing you do, right? Nobody's ever asked him that. Like, is it recruiting? Is it staffing? Like, where when you start to turn around a program, like what's the first thing you do? You know, is it ask for an analysis? Like, I don't know. I'm just curious to the thought process of what he would say. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I read a book, you know, about when
we.
I read a book one time that talked about when we hired him, you know, at LSU, and one of the reasons we went at him.
Hey, you're talking like 10 times speed right now.
10 times speed.
Yeah, you were talking like.
Okay, am I good now?
Uh huh.
Okay, so I read a book one time where they talked about when we hired him at LSU, and he discussed like, or one big reason we came at him was because he brought questions into LSU.
Yeah,
like,
I read
you
that.
Know, yeah, why are you suffering here? Like, what's the problem? Why did you have a yep. bad record this previous year, you know, and I thought no, that was so impressive.
I read that too, but I still want to know his specific thought process. It's like, okay, you've got the contract, you've done the press conference. What's the first domino that needs to fall to get your process in place?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What would you do if you woke up with magical powers?
Okay, when you say magical powers, what you talking about there? Like you're talking
about
like
say that you get to choose two that you get to have. What would you do?
Ooh, choose two magical powers. I think one would be the ability to. Yep, I think I have the ability to fly.
Yes.
Okay, and then super strength probably. Or be indestructible. Something along those lines. Like something like that. Yeah. Or I would just like wish for just Superman's powers or something like that. I don't know. And what would I do? I don't know. I'd fucking monetize that shit, man. I'd be the most famous paid motherfucker on social media in the world. Okay. it would be like winning the lottery, baby. I'd be out there. I'd be like, all these fucking celebrities and shit be like, oh, can you film my TikTok? Sure fucking can. I'm picking up like a building and shit over my head, you know, while they're filming like a dance in front of me and shit. And next thing you know, it's got 55 million views and I'm just raining in cash. That's all it is, baby. Plus, I can fly, so I don't have to worry about traffic ever again. Ever.
Yeah, like you know, for your next TikTok video, you could fly up and like grab a plane out of the sky and like spin it backwards and shit, like stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I'd be making TikTok videos with Livy. It'd be great.
Yeah, man. That's a good one. I like that one.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on.
Because, see, look, what I'm saying is, like, I can monetize
all my power. Let's move on to the next.
Well, wait. I'm saying I can monetize all my power. You see what I'm saying? I don't have to go, like, conquer the world. I can literally just take what I got and then monetize the fuck out of it times 10. It would be great. You know?
Yeah. Okay, here's a more serious, like, realistic question. What's your biggest pet peeves, Alan? Let's hear you go off for a minute.
I think I have too many to name.
Throw a couple at me.
ones that get me extremely upset, I think, are...
God knows traffic's one of them.
Well, it's not traffic. It's the why of the traffic. It's the reason behind it. It's the fact that TDOT or somewhere else just wants to fucking shut down a random lane at 3 o'clock on a fucking Friday, you know, or some shit for no reason, you know, other than the fact they can't. Pieces of shit. I think being late for me, nothing boils me than being late. I would rather be an hour early than 1 minute late. So
yeah,
that kind of leads to the traffic thing, because I'm like, if I leave, if it takes me 30 minutes to get somewhere and I leave an hour early and I'm still late, I am boiling at that point, because I left in plenty of time. Yeah, I doubled my time and I'm still late. You know what I mean? So that shit, being late, is something that I fucking can't stand. The other thing is, like, I would say, like, being embarrassed. So if, like, yeah, I get embarrassed, like, by anything, right? I could just be, like, doing something and then, like, I fuck up and it's very embarrassing or something like that. You know, like, I'm in the middle of, like, let's say I'm getting coffee and I walk and I fucking trip and fucking fall and coffee spills all over me and, you know, causes a big fucking scene. Oh, I'm ready to just destroy the world at that point. I'm about to go nuclear. Outside of that, I think pretentious, stuck-up people really fucking get to me, to the point where I would love to just hit them so fucking hard their children die. I can't stand, like, just people that, even if you are an important person, I can't stand people that feel important. Do you know what I mean? Like, no matter how much money or success or anything that you have, I always like people that treat everybody the same, you know, yep, not walk around with their nose in the air. And that's another reason I hate Nashville, is because I feel that the influx over the last several years of pretentious assholes into the city are just dominating it now, you know, like, it's whether I'm sitting in traffic, it's like nobody will let you fucking over. You know, nobody will fucking wave. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking crazy. It feels like much more of a smug northern city than a southern city, you know, that grew. So I don't like that shit. Too much pretentiousness. It's not my thing. I don't like those things. Did you cut out again? Get a router, Cody. Get a router. Move around.
What if you had to work with a clone of yourself every day?
That would be interesting.
I would love to hear this.
That would be interesting. I don't know. I wonder that sometimes too. I've actually thought about how I would be able to handle myself on a daily basis. And I don't know if I could. So that'd be interesting. Especially on days like yesterday, where I had like a really bad day. Like, I had a fucking meltdown yesterday.
Yeah, I could tell you were pissed. I could tell you yesterday. I was just like, okay, I'm just not going to fucking talk to this.
It was so fucking bad yesterday. Like, I literally downed 3/4 of a 1/5 of tequila in like an hour and a half. Oh, I was fucking mad. And then, like, I was something I never am, which is rude to some of my customers for the first time that I'm meeting them. I literally told a customer yesterday that my day is so fucking bad, I'd sell my soul to Satan and get out of Nashville.
It was just what spurned it? Was it just like
I just hate a hard day? It was like fucking just all of a sudden it wasn't even supposed to fucking rain. It was supposed to be just a beautiful day. And then all of a sudden it's just thunderstorming the whole fucking day for no reason. Like, I check the weather like 6,000 times a day before I start making my schedules and things like that. So when I book really hard shit, I usually do it on days where it's just hot and sunny, because it's easier to maneuver, because the rain just complicates every fucking thing. So it just all of a sudden started fucking thunderstorming for fucking 5 hours for no fucking reason and just complicated everything and just fucking screwed up everything. It was terrible. So yeah, not my thing.
Okay, here's a good one. What if you could master one skill, like, perfectly? What would it be?
One skill, a skill.
Yes.
I would say the ability to retain, to memorize knowledge.
Yeah, like everything. Just
everything. To have, like, the skill to literally study, and once I've committed to memory, it's in memory forever. I can't forget it.
Yeah, no matter what it is.
Yep.
I like that one. That's a good one. Good choice. That would be the one skill you choose.
Yeah, that's it. Like, if I had a skill, like something that I could learn to do, it would be to memorize anything and everything. So if I read a book, you know, sometimes, like, after I read a book, I forget things, so I have to go back and look at it, mm-hmm. unless it really impacts me. So I've read so many books. Sometimes I've had I read a book recently, or I listened to it while driving, and I can't tell you a fucking thing about this book. A fucking thing. One, it was not as interesting as I thought it was going to be. Two, I'm just like, after it was over, I'm just like, I wasted fucking 8 hours of audio time, and I can't tell you a fucking thing about this book. It was fucking terrible. Yeah.
Audio book. Speaking of books, your go-to, right? That's like.
I do both. At nighttime, I like to read, like, fiction in non-audio form. But when I'm driving around killing time, it's either podcasts or audiobooks.
Okay. So, like, any of your fiction-type stories that you read, you're going paperback or hardcover. You're not doing audio with that.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. I can get down with that. I've gotten into audiobooks a lot more lately. The one thing I hate about them is I always wind up falling asleep, and of course it keeps playing, you know, and I'm like, fuck, where did I leave off? You know, and I got to go back and.
Well, I do that. I do that with my regular books. I'll be like, cause I read them on my phone through iBooks.
Oh yeah.
I'm sitting there, and it's like, when you start to doze, like, you reread the same paragraph like 10 times.
Yeah.
And then you fall asleep, and then you wake up the next day and you're like, fuck, I can't remember. Like, I'm rereading the same page that I fell asleep on. But I can't remember it, so I got to go back like 5 pages so that I could kind of pick up where my mind was, you know, in the story.
Yeah. What would you say the top three fiction books you've read are? Like, I kind of want to know what type of fiction you read. Because I'm into, like, the horror genre and stuff, you know, and that's the type of fiction I love.
I'm all into, like, CIA, like, spy stuff like that, like, The Gray Man series, I've read all 13 of those books. The Terminalist series, I just, his new book, Only the Dead, just came out. I think that was book 7 in the series. I've read all those. The Mitch Rapp series, I think there's 21 novels in there. I've read all those. Star Wars books, I've read fucking hundreds of those things. Usually, if it's fiction, it's like Star Wars or like CIA type undercover spy shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's this one book I think you would really like. It's more like mystery type thing. It's not really the horror genre type. It's called Songs of Kali, K-I-L-I. Maybe check that one out. I think you would really like it.
I'll try it. I don't know. I'll try anything. I mean, at some point, as long as it grabs my attention. So
yeah. Yeah, I think you would really like that. It's kind of more in your wheelhouse.
You should try to read a nonfiction book is what you need to read, okay?
I like some nonfiction story or stories, biographies, and stuff like that, but I'm way more into fiction when it comes to reading.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly down for any of these books you're talking about, you know, so maybe kind of throw some at me.
I'll hit you off, Ryan. I'll get you a good one to get started in because they're, like, really good and there's lots of them. So, there. I'll get you started on some good ones.
Next scenario: if you were to win the lottery tomorrow, what's the first things you're doing?
I've already got a plan for this. One.
Okay.
Cool. I don't tell anybody I won it. I go and immediately hire the biggest, baddest, fucking already super mega rich corporate lawyer I could find to start setting up trusts and shit like that. Then I would go and accept the money, get my lump sum payment, divide up everything to where I needed it to go, start hiring an architect to buy some land and construct my compound that I'm going to build, which is a fully sustained, self-sufficient thing, complete with a fucking bunker for the end of the world. everything, gym, like just a house that I would never really have to leave unless I wanted to, you know, the whole nine yards, fully construct that, start construction on that. Then I would build, I'd invest in some businesses. I'd take my business to a different scale. I'd take care of some family members and things like that, but I'm not giving you fuckers like a lot of money. I'm gonna be like, here's like 2 million. Go do what you want to do with it. You know?
I'd be good with that.
Yeah. And everybody else is like all the cousins and people like that, that I haven't seen in fucking 30 years. They're coming out and be like, you can suck my dick. Sorry. Goodbye. You know, so like I would just do that. I would literally start setting up all that stuff and investments and corporates and corporations and different things, trusts, et cetera, to protect the money, grow compound interest from that. Like, you hear all these fucking horror stories where it's like, you know, these fucking crackheads fucking win the lottery and they go spend like buy this mansion with like and have like gold floors and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing any of that dumb shit. I'm going to invest much money as I can. The money that's not is going into my fucking house that will be amazing. And then I'm good. You know, sure. I might get like one expensive car, like to drive outside of my truck, you know, just for like Sundays or something like that, you know? And that's it.
I like it. All right. What's
your latest interest
that you discovered?
What do you mean, like latest interest?
Yeah. Like, what's the last thing you've like really something new? Anything?
I don't do anything. I don't do anything new.
you stick to a routine, huh?
Very, very routine and regimented. When I'm not like I talked about this like last time on the podcast with Dean. Like, I have my.
I've got
my morning. My morning is rigid. The middle is flexible. The end is rigid. You know what I mean? So that's just what it is. I don't like to deviate that much.
Do you have any strange hobbies or like with me collecting watches? Watches is a big thing of mine. Like, do you have anything like that?
Nope.
Just, man, I like it.
Well, I don't. Like, if I were to, like, spend money on anything, it would just be more shit for my gym, like, different equipment and stuff like that, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I don't have any, like, hobbies or anything like that. Like, I got my boy Ray, he builds RC cars. And so, like, he's very fascinated. Like, he builds these things. He's got an RC car that goes, like, 40 miles an hour in the parking lot. And then we were on a job the other day, and this dude builds real cars and RC cars. So he was, like, in heaven. This dude had a car, a little RC car, that this dude custom built, and it went 105.
Oh shit!
And then they showed me a video of a guy that broke the RC record yesterday on an airport runway going 222 miles an hour.
Oh my god! So your boy builds them.
Yeah, he orders like parts, builds them from scratch. You know, like, gets to customize everything, the wheels. Like, you can hook it up to the computer to do like all these other, you get, like, high turn motors. Like, you can put like $3,000 in one of these little RC cars. You know?
Damn, how many of them has he built up?
Like two or three, I think. But yeah, that's like his hobby. He likes that. I have nothing like that.
Yeah. That's really cool though. That's a cool thing to be in. Like, this is something that he's always been into, or is this something?
Yeah, like when I pull up, I think I'm early to work and he's already beat me there. He's like watching YouTube videos on these RC cars on different parts and shit and how to, you know, maximize their potential and what frames to put all this other kind of shit. And I'm just like, everybody's got something. So
yeah, sure. That's pretty badass. It's pretty badass.
Yeah. So me, nope. I don't like, yeah, you know, some people are like into cooking. Some people are into like art. Some people are into all that shit. You know what I mean? Yep. Not me. I literally eat the same meal all the time.
You're into lifting. You're into fitness. That's something.
I've always been into that, though. Yeah. I mean, but that's literally always been into that. That's not to me, that's not a hobby. That's just more of a thing I do. I don't even enjoy it. I really fucking hate it. So yeah,
it's a lifestyle. Like, it's your lifestyle.
Yeah. It's just, it's something to prepare myself for unplanned scenarios so that if shit goes down, I am fit enough to handle it. You know what I mean? So say, for example, you get lost somewhere in the middle of the fucking woods, okay? Well, if you're fat and fucking lazy and all you're doing is eating pork rinds all fucking day on your couch, you're not going to be able to get the fucking 15-mile hike, you know, up a fucking hill or some shit to where you can get to safety. I can't. So I don't know. That's the shit that I do.
You've always
been into working out and fitness and whatnot. I mean, you could say, I mean, do you think the same way about like martial arts and stuff? Would you say that that's more of a lifestyle or a hobby too? You know, I mean,
It's both. I mean, like when I really can afford to train like I want to, you know what I mean? At like a good school that's well-rounded and shit like that, that would be like something that's like a hobby for me, I guess, or a passion. But having the time and then the resources to do it, you know, like that's tough. But when I can, if I can, God, I would love, I'd train fucking every day. I'd get up in the morning, lift weights in the morning and train in the evening and sparring or jujitsu or something else, you know, adding something to the belt.
I got you. Yeah. But as far as like any recent interest or anything, nothing like that. It's just the same.
No, old. Like I don't know. There's really nothing out there that really piques my interest in terms of like, man, that's really cool. I really want to do that. You know?
Yeah. I get it. I mean, that's what kind of what you've always done. So last one for you, okay? And I think this is kind of a fun one. For you, anyway. If you could invent a robot, what would you have this robot do? We've talked about the bots before many a times. I'd like to know what an Allen robot would do.
Man. It would have to be an all-encompassing robot, right? So it would have to be like, it would be like a robot that would give me an answer, almost like a live Siri anytime, but also be strong enough to help me do shit whenever I need it, right? Almost like a robot assistant that can help me lift shit when I need to, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It could, if I'm like, hey, schedule this or do that, you know, or hey, yeah, or hey, go pick up the kids, you know, like, I don't feel like driving today, you know, go do this, then that would be great. Just to do like the menial tasks that I don't like to do.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, that's not too far of a stretch.
Maybe not. I mean, they're building supercomputers now. Like today, after my workout at the park today, it's been storming randomly the last few days. So every time I go to cut my grass, it's like storms, and then my grass holds water. So it's like fucking shit. I can't cut it. So today I had like this window, but the grass is still a little soggier than I like it, but I got to do it. So I did the side and the front and make the kids do the back. Well, cause it's bigger and there's just, you know, the front is where it's at anyway. But the one thing I hate that my robot would do would be fucking weed eating and edging, you know? So I can cut the grass. I can just grab the mower and just fucking push mow my shit all fucking day. It didn't bother me. I just zone out, you know? I just walk in my patterns and I do my shit. But when I got to fucking deal with that weed eater and fucking all that shit, that could be a robot job.
Yeah. It's a good plan. Like I say, not too much of a stretch, man. Building the supercomputers up.
By the way, I just saw today Elon and what's his face? Zuck their fight is gonna be live streamed on Twitter, aka X now.
So they're still talking about having the fight.
It's apparently happening. And Zuck is apparently taking it super serious, where he built an octagon in his backyard and pissed off his wife. And he's like eating like 6,000 to 7,000 calories a day to bulk up. So I think Elon's fucked.
So they're really going to have this happen.
Yes, apparently it is. It is definitely happening. Because then Elon posted, don't have time to train. So I'm just bringing weights to the office and curling when I can. And I'm like, yeah, you're gonna get fucking smashed, dude.
Yeah. It's gonna get ugly. It's gonna get ugly if this really happens. He better start cracking his ass down.
Like everybody in the world is gonna fucking watch this shit, and it's gonna be over in 30 seconds.
Everybody's gonna buy that shit. Even you're gonna buy that shit.
Well, no, I'm not buying it. It's gonna be live streamed on X.
Oh, so like it's going to be live streamed. Like it's not going to be a pay per view type thing. Is what you're saying?
I don't think so. There's unless you have to, unless you have to bet. Well, they said all proceeds will go to charity. So I don't know what that means.
I would think there's got to be some kind of buy-in, but I still think it's a very slim chance of happening. I mean, it's fun to talk about. It would be hilarious to watch. I don't.
Well, I was going for. I'm going for Elon, but if he's not putting any effort in, Zuck's going to take him down and choke him out in 3 seconds.
Yeah. It's not even going to be close if that's the case.
Maybe we're getting closer to revealing that Elon is actually an alien anyway. So maybe this is like the big reveal. You know what I mean? So this is it. It's like, ha, we've been here the whole time, fuckers. Like we've really secretly invaded your species. You know,
like that would happen after he gets tapped. Like he taps in the, the octagon, and then like he jumps up and then like peels his mask off. And
yeah, or he just changes shape right there in the middle of the ring. You know?
Yeah, just completely shapeshifts.
Just shapeshifts into this, like, I've been here the whole time. I've personally tried to strive for excellence and make this place a better place. My parents aren't my parents. They posed as I was a child that landed on this planet as an experiment. And then it's fucking over. I'm serious. Like, think about it. The Pentagon and everybody else is, like, just talking about UFOs and we know about them and they're real and all this shit here lately, right? It's just kind of got glossed over by everything. And it's like, I just keep waiting for them to be like, oh, you know, like all these fucking greats of our time, you know, like Jimi Hendrix, fucking alien. Nobody could play a guitar like him, alien, you know, fucking Elon and all his inventions, alien, Da Vinci, alien, you know, like it's just like they've been among us the entire time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's the big reveal. He gets tapped, and then he steps up, and he shapes.
That's it. It turns into something.
After he gets choked out, like he taps, and he steps up, and just like completely transforms.
Exactly, and he's like, "I've been here amongst you, learning from your people, improving your technology to advance your species from extinction." Blah 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 blah.
And then it's over.
And then it's over, you know. And then all of a sudden now. Aliens exist. We don't know how many they're at. Like, will that unite us? Will that divide us? Is there going to be like a bunch of alien prejudice going on? Like, fuck you, green bastards. We don't know. We don't even know if they're green. We don't know, you know? Like, then everybody's going to be like, my wife's weird. Is she an alien? Can you fuck an alien? We don't know. It's going to be just pandemonium craziness.
That's wild, man. It's wild to think about.
Like, just imagine that your wife walks in there and is just like, nyong, nyong, nyong. I'm an alien. And the first thing you're thinking about is, like, is your dick going to fall off? You know, like, we don't know. So, like, has this been, like, a secret thing? Are they mind controlling it? We don't know. We don't know anything. So, look, Biden, he's walking on the stage half dead. I mean, they probably pumped him full of alien drugs. We don't know. Like, there's just a lot of things we don't know about shit that they're trying to admit to us now, but we don't know. So, fuck.
Yep, and after the UFC fight or the MMA fight between them, that's when we find out. That's it. That's a big reveal. Everybody's going to be watching. Everybody's going to be
right. It's worldwide. On a massive social media platform, you know, and that's it. Elon steps out and reveals himself as Kala Ala Bula Badada.
It's kind of like when we talked about the Loch Ness Monster that time and how he like goes down to the bottom and mutates and stuff and he pops his head out every once in a while.
Yeah, just kind of says what the fuck's happening. That's exactly what Elon would do. Elon would just be like, our species has been amongst you, learning and advancing you to prevent you from dying, but you keep building bombs and blah, 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 blah. You know? It's like, he's like, we have secretly replaced all your world leaders.
Meanwhile,
meanwhile, Zuck's over in the fucking cage, like, oh my God, I just had to do that. You know? So.
It's pretty far fetched, man. And a good.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was. All right. Well, all right, wise asses. We will fucking see y'all next week where we will talk about more bullshit. We do have some good guests coming up. We got some UFC fighters going to be on the show soon.
Yeah.
So keep posted for that. And anything else we may add to. I got a couple of people brewing the works right now to come on and talk about some mental health stuff and some changes we'd like to see. So stay tuned.
Stick around with us. I'm yes. Cody Wise.
All right. And I'm Alan Wise. And we are out. Later.
Later.